Watch News Studio, all settled in comfortably, awaiting the chance to identify. I'll see you later. See you at 6.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kent Lyle Bertley welcoming you to Radio New York. And here now are the stars of the show, Bob and Ryan.
Thank you very much, Kent Lyle Bertley. And hello, everybody. This is Bob and Ray broadcasting Elliot and Goulding from Camp Ivey. Isn't that the way Bob Hope used to always say?
This is Bob broadcasting from
Camp Myers, California, where they can stand in mud up to your knees and still have sand blowing your eyes.
Wait a minute, just a minute, Ray. Just a second.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you, Drew. Man, that's a delayed audience.
It really is. any kind of audience, delayed or whatever, it's always a joy to have them with us.
Well, let's be honest. The audience is on a 7-second tape delay. That's why it took that long.
But let us reintroduce ourselves. This is Radio New York with Bob and Ray, and we'll be here now until 7 o'clock with you. And do we have fun and games arranged for you today? The Word Wizard is here, and he'll be along right after we listen to this word for...
Right now, it's time for another informative session with Dr. Elmer Stapley, the Word Wizard. Dr. Stapley, as you know, is one of the nation's outstanding authorities on the meaning and derivation of English words, and he's here to answer questions that you listeners send in about our language and its correct use. You ready to take a fling at the first question, Doctor?
Well, Mr. Elliott, the only accumulation I can make upon the receptionizing of your last sentence is that you are a grammatical ignominious. It should be obviating that one cannot take a fling at a question. The word fling is an untransitive verb and is conjected through its various monogamies as I fling, I flang, I have done flung.
Uh-huh.
Under no circumference could it take the word question as its predication. Do I make myself replete?
Yes, but I don't think we better discuss what you make yourself replete with.
Uh-huh.
I think I know. Let's get right to the mail here.
Sure.
First, from a woman in Manhasset. Ray, that's your hometown, isn't it?
Yes,
Ray?
It is, Bob.
Yeah. She says, I keep wondering why we refer to a person with a suntan as being brown as a berry. They let me have a small garden out behind the occupational therapy building, and I've tried raising every type of berry I can think of, but most of them turn out to be red or purple, and none have ever been brown. Is the expression wrong, or have I simply misunderstood it?
Well, she simply misunderstood it. The homony we use to describe a person with a suntan is red as a beet.
Yeah.
Now, this, of course, refers to a police beet and the color of the soles of an officer's feet after he spent 8 hours walking one.
Well, I think that answer set a new all-time record even for you, Doctor.
Right.
It's not only completely inaccurate, it didn't even deal with the expression the woman was talking about.
Thank you. I was rather proud of the way I handled the thing myself. Now, what's next?
This letter from a man in Bridgeport. We've had a lot of mail from Bridgeport lately. Haven't we, Ray?
Yes, we have, Bob.
He writes...
Leave me out of it, please. I'm trying to rest.
Just trying to include you in the group kind of thing.
Don't go out of your way, please.
All right. The man writes... Doctor?
Yes?
The man writes, I make a lot of startling, ridiculous statements, and some of my friends react by saying, gosh.
Uh-huh.
This usually terminates the whole conversation because I don't know what they mean. Now, I tried looking up the word gosh in the dictionary, and it just referred me to the phrase, gosh all hemlock,
uh-huh,
which left me even more confused. Can you tell me what just plain gosh means?
Well, it sounds as if it might be a conniption of some longer word. They do a lot of that up in Bridgeport,
you know. Conniptions, you mean?
Yes, yes. The people there speak with sort of a regional diatribe and tend to slurp their words together. I would assimilate that gosh is a shortened form of either goulash or galoshes.
Well, a gentleman says it comes as a reaction when he makes a startling comment. So I guess either goulash or galoshes would be a logical comeback. Huh?
Really? Well, it doesn't seem that way to me.
No, it doesn't to me either.
No.
Here's one from a lady in Vermont. Good to be getting up that way. She writes, I'm a notary public.
Oh?
And in that capacity, I illegally grant American citizenship to a lot of people who sneak into this country from Canada illegally. Of course, the whole ceremony is a fraud, but even so, I'd like to conduct it properly. Is it more correct to say, I reckon it's how you swear a blue streak to hold up the United States? Or is the proper phrasing, now you done got to pledge abhorrence to the Republicans right where you stand?
Well, no, under this kind of circumnavigance, I think the best thing to say would be the documents will set you back $10, but nobody will be able to tell them from the real thing.
Yeah, I think putting it that way lends more dignity to
the
occasion, and I'm sure it's enabled our listeners to see how the proper and direct use of our language can avoid misunderstanding. Thanks for these letters, Doctor. Will you be back later to answer a few more?
Well, thank you very much. I found the experience completely repugnant.
We'll look for you if you'll go over there and sit where Ray was. And, Ray, if you'll come back up here...
Oh, I'll be glad to, Bob.
To
sure.
The broadcasting desk.
All right.
We want to talk...
Wally Ballou. Mr. Mayor, we like to call him.
Well, thank you very much. I'm beginning to get used to the phrase. I just came back from a flying helicopter trip to Monmouth County, where I think I successfully campaigned.
You were down in Monmouth today? Or
yes, I was
down
visiting one of your new sponsors who's going to be starting here very soon.
Oh, how exciting. How nice.
And the folks there at Mammoth Monmouth gave me... a great welcome, and they all began wearing the buttons I brought. I left some stickers, some posters, and I think I've got the county pretty well covered.
Well, I don't want to blow up your bubble right at this point, but they can't vote for you down there, you know. You're running for mayor of New York, not for the mayor of the East Coast, you fathead.
Ray, you mean to say...
I mean to say exactly what I said.
There's no people down there that...
There are people there, but they can't vote for you.
Well, what did I spend all that money for? Carmine said it was a great area, for a rich area for votes.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't think you should seek out Carmine's advice on things like this. Why don't you check with Bob or Ray or Webley even?
I think maybe I will.
Because
this cost an arm and a leg. It's the biggest expense I've put out so far.
What, you go by helicopter?
Yes.
Sure, that's expensive, you know, fly all the way down.
Well, that wasn't so much, but I bought lunch for everybody and...
You mean you...
The posters that I paid for?
Well, what ever got into your mind to think that people down in New Jersey could vote for the mayor of New York?
Well, I'm getting pictures of people's automobiles with blue stickers on them, New Jersey plates.
Well, that doesn't mean they can vote for them. Maybe they'd like to see you mayor, but they can't vote.
Could they write me in New Jersey somehow?
Are you serious? You want to be mayor of New York?
Mayor of New York City, right.
And you're this dense about the whole situation?
Well, I'm not a politician at heart, you see. That's what I think we need in this city, is someone who isn't politically oriented.
Oh, we need somebody who can, put the square pegs in the square holes. You know, something basic like that.
Do what?
Oh, my. We have a problem.
What do I need to put square pegs in round holes for?
I didn't say that. You probably would put the square peg in the round hole.
Well, what difference would it make if it's a round peg in a square hole?
Well, you're supposed to put the square pegs in the square hole.
Will you two guys stop this, please?
And the round pegs in the round hole.
You're driving everybody crazy.
And you're running for mayor of New York. I find it hard to believe.
Ray, you're old enough not to argue with him about that.
I suppose I shouldn't. You're right. I'm sorry.
Do you have Greenfield waiting?
I shouldn't get involved. Well, gee, we're right back here at Radio New York now. And how are you, Kent Lyle?
Just fine, Ray. I just came back from lunch, and I hear Mr. Ballou has been down to New Jersey this afternoon.
Yes, he flew down campaigning, and I had to explain to him that they don't vote for the mayor of New York. And
why, of course not.
You knew that.
Any fool would have known that.
Well, that's what I said to him in as many words.
Even in the condition I'm in, I know that.
What condition would that be? How long a lunch did you have today?
Oh, we went out about 12:30.
Uh-huh.
I have some information in the control room I forgot to bring in with me. Can
I
go get it?
All right. Would you go get it and then come right back?
Right.
Very good. Oh, boy. Be careful.
I've got it.
Oh, boy. Be careful, Kent. Here he comes back.
Okay. I have a couple of jokes here. You sometimes ask me for jokes. Ray, did you hear about the fellow who fell into a lens-grinding machine and made a spectacle of himself?
There's just nothing I can say to that, Kent Lyle.
You know what the cannibal chief said when he was asked what's for dinner?
No.
His wife answered, baked beans.
Is there a joke there?
I thought there was. Baked beans.
Oh, baked beans.
Yes.
Oh, I get it. I thought you said baked beans.
I think I brought the wrong file. I'm going to get the helpful hints file.
Look, Kent, over there, why don't you sit on the sofa?
Go over and sit where Bob is.
Yeah, and just...
No, Kent, you go sit where Bob is.
And just relax, and we'll call you when we need you.
A little bit calmed down now. Kent has drifted off to sleep.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, here's trouble.
This is the very first of all, Webley L. Webster. I bring the greetings of the mother of me and all my friends.
Webley, it's a pleasure to see you, and what is new in the Webster household, if anything?
Well, the mother of me bought a new kitchen table.
Oh, really? Formica,
yes.
One of those kind? With a...
No, it's a round one.
Uh-huh. And is it something you needed in your house?
Yes, we did. We had the other kitchen table we had for over 45 years. So it was about time we got a new kitchen table.
I hope you didn't throw it out, because that's practically an antique these days.
No, it went down cellar. We'll probably have a cellar sale one of these days.
Are you redecorating your house? Is that for the
No, we just needed a new table. The legs were wobbly.
Well, you can't eat on a table with wobbly legs.
No, you wouldn't want to.
But I was going to say...
Not a soft cooked egg anyway.
No.
How often, you know, maybe once in a lifetime, do you ever remember buying a kitchen table, right?
Yes.
It seems to last. You don't turn them in like automobiles.
They don't wear out.
They don't seem to wear out.
They don't change in style a great deal.
Well, kitchen tables, you just take for granted. You have the same one for years and years and years and years.
Plus, you can take one and cut it down, make a coffee table out of it.
Yeah. And that's probably more than any other piece of furniture. You just take for granted the poor old kitchen table. Think of the fun you have there, huh?
You're really bringing everybody down with your...
I'm sorry,
sad
I don't mean
talk.
To get everybody so sad this way. But it is, isn't it? It is kind of a sad thing. Kitchen tables are so...
They're so much a part of you. They're so much a part of your life. You have your breakfast there. Sometimes you...
And you can see all those pies on the happy occasions and the cakes.
Cooling
sitting there, right.
You know, a pie baker,
yes,
a lady,
sir,
usually likes to let a pie set for about... lets the pastry set about 10 minutes before making a pie out of it.
Why would that be?
I don't know. It's just kind of like letting it work, I guess, for... That's in one of my hints somewhere.
Oh, I guess there's some logic to that. It probably settles or ages or mellows or something.
Say, do you have collar stays in your collar there?
Yes, I do.
Collar looks like it's kind of bent. I thought maybe you'd run out of them.
No, I know. If I run out of them...
You know what to do?
Listen, if you tell me once more how to replace a collar stay with a cut-up used credit card, I will flip.
How do you do that?
How do you do what?
Make stays out
but
of...
You've been telling us this every day for, like, 3 weeks, that you cut up these old, outdated credit cards to fit your collar stays.
Oh, that's where I heard it, then.
Well, I mean, he has a bigger problem than we thought.
I'd like to play 1 minute, please.
I'll play it.
Would you, sir?
Sure.
Come on up here and sit down and...
put this over here.
Fine.
How are you today?
Oh, pretty good, sir.
Enjoying yourself so far?
Yes, I enjoyed myself so far. I enjoyed the little soft drink you gave us when we came in. And the little celery stuffed with... What was that stuffed with?
Cream cheese, I think.
Cream cheese. It was pretty good. Had some flavoring in it. It looked kind of pink to me.
You're going to have a little sample of Chicken Delight in a little while.
Oh, now, things are getting pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Now, you want to reach into the barrel and take out... You know how we play our game.
No, this is the first time I've ever heard this.
You reach into the barrel here, and you take out one of the many words that have been scientifically selected and placed there, and you pick it at random, and then whatever's on the word, you have to talk for 1 minute about
this. This barrel inspected by number 34.
Oh, that's not one.
Oh.
That's just came with the barrel.
Oh.
Just give me one more. Don't look at it, please.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Just hand it to me.
Yes, sir.
Your word is collapsible. Speak for 1 minute on collapsible. Time in.
Collapsible.
Wait.
What? Yes, sir.
I don't recognize your face, but were you here before?
No, but I had a cousin come in here.
Because last week or the week before, somebody was playing the game.
Yeah.
And they started timing themselves with a whistle like that.
I have
that.
To give myself a whistle. It's signal time in.
Okay. Well, okay.
Collapsible is a word that is English. It is spelled C-O-L-L-A-P. Collapsible. It means that...
I can give him a little help.
It means it is able to be collapsed, actually, when you break it down. For instance, you could have a collapsible tent.
30 seconds to go.
You could have a collapsible chair. You couldn't have a collapsible watermelon. It is a funny thing, collapsible. It is a nice word. Try it soon. Collapsible. C-O-L-L,
collapsible.
Only 45 seconds.
Well, collapsible is in the dictionary under C. It would come after collapse. And then several other words, and then you get to collapsible.
You've done it. Yes, you did. You talked for 1 minute on collapsible with your own timing. I think that was really great. And if you'll see our producer, Michael, on the way out, you'll get a Bob and Ray three-slot pop-up toaster in your choice of any decorator color of your choice.
I like that new avocado green color.
Will that go with the things in
the
kitchen?
I think it will, yes.
Okay, and say hello to your cousin for me.
I will.
See you. We got on the subject of the ugly, somewhat bald head of the wood ibis. Have you heard about the wood ibis?
What is that, a bird?
Yes, and it has a 5-foot wingspan, and they've been clocked in flight as fast as 35 miles per hour. Well, we sat and discussed this thing for, a good hour and a half.
Well, I'm glad I missed that discussion. An hour and a half on the wood ibis? And
just
how many
about
dry ones did you
lost count along the way, right?
Okay. Well, anyway, we would like to take a moment out, if we could, right here, to take a moment and bring you news of an amazing once-in-a-lifetime offer being made by the Bob and Ray Giant Overstocked Surplus Warehouse. Now, for a limited time only, you can become the proud owner of a full-grown African lion at a price that defies description.
It sounds incredible, but it's true, friends. We bought them cheap, and we're selling them cheap. On terms as low as no money down, only pennies a day to those with approved credit.
Now, please don't get the idea that these are old toothless lions that were released from their contracts by Hollywood movie studios. No, indeed. They're young, ferocious animals in the prime of life, purchased directly from the Flushing New York Zoo.
That's right, neighbors. Through incredible mismanagement, the Flushing Zoo became vastly overstocked with lions and was forced to unload the surplus at a tremendous loss. But now the zoo's loss can be your gain if you act quickly.
Certainly the advantage of owning one of these man-eating beauties should be obvious. Each lion is fully guaranteed to keep prowlers out of your yard, and being wild and untrainable, they'll probably keep you out of your yard as well. Well, now, what more could you ask for no money down and only pennies a day to those with approved credit?
Better still, these lions are perfect for apartment dwellers who live in buildings where no pets are allowed. By no stretch of the imagination could one of these killers be considered a pet.
Very true. And if your landlord decides to make an issue of the matter, I'm sure we all know what the lion will make of your landlord.
Now, perhaps you're the type who's worried about the upkeep, despite the admittedly low initial investment. Let me assure you, neighbors, that you needn't have a moment's concern about that. These handsome animals are used to foraging for themselves. All you have to do is let the lion out of the house. We guarantee that he'll find more than enough to supply his nutritional needs.
Or if you're downright economy-minded, why not keep your lion at home and use him in place of a dispose-all? Now, these carnivorous monsters are specially trained to eat anything and everything, particularly if it moves. Now, just one word of caution. Keep these lions out of the range of children who are likely to move.
Yeah, it might even be advisable for you grown-ups to remain stock still when one of these babies is on the prowl. Surviving kin of several of our former warehouse employees will attest to the validity of that precaution. Lion offer. You'll find these beasts to be perfect household companions. They're too stupid to bore your guests by doing tricks. They're too untamed to expect a lot of petting and attention from you. They'll simply let you know from time to time that they're still around, and that's about all there is to it.
Now, once our present supply of lions is gone, we have no reason to believe that there will be any more. So why not order today and avoid disappointment?
Incidentally, if you enclose cash with your order, we will pay all crating charges, guaranteeing the safe arrival of both the lion and the delivery man who brings it. So get that check in the mail today while a good selection remains. Regrettably, the offer is not good in Ohio due to a state law that was passed some years ago by mistake.
Elsewhere, however, legislators have not even thought of restricting or licensing lions in residential areas. So regardless of what may happen, you're legally in the clear.
Right, and even if you aren't, no process server is likely to venture close enough to your house to tell you about it. So get the order in now. Just address it to Bob and Ray, Incredibly Ferocious, WOR, New York.
Bob and Ray, and perhaps we'll hear the music of Jimmy McHale from the grill of the Terrain Hotel.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WOR. And may at this time, may I present at this time, Bob and Ray of the Bob and Ray Fame radio show, Bob and Ray.
Head of the guest relations here at WOR. Thanks again, Carmine. And we'll see you later.
I'm sure that's improved relations here at our Bob and Ray studio as we swing into our second hour for this afternoon.
Well, isn't it a fun-packed day we have today? The backstages will be along in a few minutes, and the Word Wizard will be back, and we'll have that feature, State Your Case, where
also,
people are invited to call in and state their case.
Larry Campbell said he might be able to drop by if the rehearsal's permitted.
So, all in all, it appears that it would be well worth our while to keep our dial right here at 710 for Radio New York with Bob and Ray.
Why don't you stick a pin into your radio dial so that it won't move from here? Leave it stuck right at this spot. Yep. Mary, Harry, Pop, and Calvin, a few days after our last episode, Pop is completely cured, and he and the train buff are saying goodbye to Dr. Fred B. Stoll as they leave the hospital. Did we hear?
Well, it's nice that they accepted their cash here at this hospital.
I've never seen one where they didn't, Calvin.
But when you told them that you had a credit card, they looked aghast.
Yes, they did. Boy, I really do feel good, though. Well, you certainly look good, and I think you'll be able to dance again, Pop.
Oh, I'm sure he will, boy.
Dr. Stoll, I want to thank you for the fine service you've given to Pop. You too, Chandler.
Thank you, boy.
Thank you very much, and I want to say it's a pleasure to have been able to serve you, Pop, and also your train buff friend there who's leaving with you.
Just want to remind you, though, to go easy on that ankle, Mr.
Oh, Miller. I will. I'll be very careful.
You want a favorite for a while, boy.
Well, let's step out on the streets of
again, thank
Seattle,
you.
Al.
That was a mighty nice tip, too, boy.
Boy, it's still raining. Look at that. Always raining here. Yes, it may be a little difficult to get a cab. Goodbye, Dr. Stoll. Be careful of that wet top step.
Careful, Dr. Stoll.
Yeah, I'd be careful. Oh. Hey, he fell down himself.
I think he sprained his leg.
Well, has the worst actually happened? Has Dr. Stoll become another victim of a sprained ankle? Be sure and join us tomorrow when we'll hear Mary say,
"They brought you new theme on the cartridge."
That's tomorrow in the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage, Noble Wife, Word Car Speaking.